It's time for America's Promise with Sheldon Emery of Phoenix, Arizona. Sit down with your Bible and listen as Pastor Emery preaches the Word of God, the good news of Christ's kingdom, and Bible truths about the United States of America as foretold in prophecy. This is God's promise to America, that the power and works of God will lead America to read, believe, and obey Christ's holy commands. We pray that these Bible teaching programs will be used of God to that end. During the broadcast, Pastor Emery will be offering literature, which you may request for your personal study. America's Promise Radio Bible Studies are sponsored by Lord's Covenant Church of Phoenix, Arizona. Won't you join us, please? And now, Pastor Sheldon Emery.
Thank you. I had intended to begin this week our radio study of basic church doctrines compared to the Bible, but my attendance and speaking at a Bible conference in Los Angeles has taken enough time that my notes are just not ready. My purpose is to teach, not to confuse, and I would rather delay that series than do it poorly. So instead, I shall play the first part of a church sermon titled, Jeremiah, a Weeping Prophet to a Sinful Nation. Jeremiah's message is very applicable to America today. First, my address for our free February literature for our radio listeners. Write me at America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona 85010. I'll send you my booklet, The Old Jerusalem is Not the New Jerusalem, our last monthly bulletin, our list of literature, and our tape catalog of Bible studies on cassette tapes. This sermon, part of which you will hear next on this broadcast, is among those available on tape on our weekly tape ministry. Information on that will be included along with your February literature packet. My address again for that is America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. And now, the sermon on Jeremiah. Turn to the first chapter of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet to a sinful nation. Sometimes my listeners say, well, Pastor Emery, you use so many scripture passages in one sermon that I can't keep turning back and forth in the Bible and keep up with you, so I'm going to stay almost completely in one prophet this time. Jeremiah was called to prophesy in 626 B.C., and he spoke and wrote for about 40 years, and all of this, of course, is in this one book. And he continued to prophesy to the children of Israel until Jerusalem was destroyed by Babylon in 586 B.C. We'll begin in chapter 1. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign, and that would have been 626 B.C. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, under the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the fifth month. So Jeremiah, of all of the prophets, had the privilege, I guess if you could call it that, of prophesying to one of the nations of Israel in the years before God then finally took them into captivity, as Jeremiah and the other prophets had told them. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. So Jeremiah was a reluctant prophet, at least at first. He said he couldn't do this, even though God had said, I have chosen thee from the womb. Verse 6, Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand, and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. And that ended Jeremiah's reluctance, as it should end ours. In other words, God said, do not be afraid. Don't worry that you can't speak. I have put my words in your mouth. And that goes for every preacher in this land who has been given God's word, and it goes for every layperson also. God says, you go, you preach, I put my words in your mouth, and that's it. Verse 10, see, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Now we'll see that most of Jeremiah's words were words of destruction. But God said to him, I put my words in your mouth to do this, to root out, pull down, destroy, and to throw down. Now I know that God is going to use the physical power of enemies of our people to destroy certain portions of things that are in Israel in order to prepare this nation and this people for the kingdom. But it's also true that the preaching of God's word does that same thing. It roots out, it tears down, and it destroys. Now, you can consider God's word, it's called seed, and the term is used planting here and so on. Well, apparently, there were some things that had to be done before the building and the planting took place. And praise God that he also gave Jeremiah the work or the job of building and planting right in the midst of what we think is the destruction of an entire nation of Israel. Verse 11, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. And the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, what seest thou? And I said, I see a seething pot, and the face thereof is toward the north, or the margin says, from the face of the north. In other words, the pot seemed to be coming from the north. Then the Lord said unto me, out of the north, and evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, saith the Lord, and they shall come, and they shall set every one his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem, and against all the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of Judah. In other words, God said this seething pot that Jeremiah saw apparently was peoples and nations who would be brought against the kingdom of Judah from the north. And we'll show you the beautiful promise that God was showing Jeremiah when he showed Jeremiah this almond tree and said, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. Sometimes they say, well, you should leave the good news till the last, so I'm going to do that. We're going to continue about the other vision, the seething pot that Jeremiah saw that would be the people and nations coming from the north. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, saith the Lord, and they shall come and shall set every one his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem, and against all the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of Judah. And I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, and worshipped the works of their own hands. Now who was going to feel God's judgment? Not these people who were being brought against the Judah kingdom, but those people, according to this verse, who have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods and worshiped the works of their own hands. In other words, God was actually going to bring these alien, enemy, heathen nations against Judah because of the sins of the Israel people. Now he said here, who have forsaken me. And let's think about this for a moment. Sometimes we think, well, the heathen are the people who should be judged for not following Jesus Christ and not acknowledging the God of creation. But of all the families of the earth, only Israel was ever in a relationship with God where they could forsake him. These other people have never been worshipers of the God of the Bible. They have never been worshipers of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So how could they be accused of forsaking him, turning away from him? That accusation can only stand in relation to the children of Israel. And that's who God is talking about here. Thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise, and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. Jeremiah, don't back down from the people. You tell them what I have commanded you, even if they don't want to hear. This is the great problem, I believe, faced by many ministers in America today. They preach a sermon, it hurts someone's feelings, it goes against something someone believes, and they collar the minister, and if they are a large contributor to the church, they let him know that they don't feel they can give their money if he preaches like that, and the minister quits preaching like that. And I imagine that there are many churches in America where the minister teaches and preaches that which is approved by certain people who attend the church. So in the very beginning of Jeremiah's ministry, God said, you be not dismayed at their faces. You don't worry about what they say, lest I confound thee before them. In other words, God would cause trouble for Jeremiah if he actually felt that way. For behold, I have made thee this day a defense city, and an iron pillar, and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. So Jeremiah was told in no uncertain terms that God had chosen him against all of these things in the land, against the leaders, against the ministers, and even against the people. Now there are some things that kingdom identity ministers must preach to this land which are very highly disliked by a large segment of our population, and that is about the possibility of coming invasion and war from alien and heathen lands. And they say, oh, you shouldn't do that because all you do is stir up trouble. Some years ago when I published my booklet, The Bible Says Russia Will Invade America, I discovered later that one of the leaders of the anti-communist group here in the Phoenix area had been very highly critical of my publishing this book, not because it was wrong, but because they felt that that would make people quit fighting communism. Can you imagine? Telling them what the Bible says is the wrong thing to do because they won't react to the enemy the right way. This is why I suppose God had to make it so plain to Jeremiah, you don't worry about what the people think. I've actually made you a prophet against them and against the princes and rulers and the kings and the priests and so on. Verse 19. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. He didn't say, Jeremiah, I've put my words in your mouth. You're going to preach the truth of God's word. Of course, as soon as you do that, the people will all rally around you, and you'll get on 1,000 radio stations and hundreds of television stations, and you'll build a big church, and you'll save a lot of souls, and you'll be invited to the White House, right? No, he didn't say that to Jeremiah at all. He said, they shall fight against thee. Strangely enough, many Christian people think that because some doctrine is popular or accepted by great numbers of people, that doctrine must be true. And yet that is actually the opposite of what we find throughout the history of the Israel people. The true doctrines of God apparently have been accepted by only a small portion of the people at any one time. Now, I've said, and you know this to be true, that many of the people who came to early America were Christians and believed in the truth of God's word. In fact, a high percentage of the first people who came here believed the truth of God's word. Now, that doesn't mean that all Israel accepted, because back in Europe, people were still being persecuted, thrown in prison and in dungeons because they believed the truth, and apparently the vast majority of the people in those nations accepted the false doctrines. This has been true all down through the ages. So way back here at the time of Jeremiah, God said to him, he said, I've made you a prophet against these people, and they will fight against you. So that began Jeremiah's ministry, and praise God, he ended that first part with, they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. So God began Jeremiah's ministry first by a session with Jeremiah, in which God told him, I have chosen you to speak for me. Then God revealed his plan to Jeremiah. God told him what to preach. God told him what the people would do. And then he said, you go ahead anyway. I am with you. That's quite a beginning for a prophet to tell him that, well, the people will fight against you because you're going to preach my words. Let's go on now as Jeremiah's actual ministry begins to the kingdom of Judah. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. So the first thing that Jeremiah was to tell the Judah kingdom was God's word that I remember my covenant with you. We have an awful lot of preaching in America today, and I would say, and I don't like to use percentages all the time, but I suppose this one is about right, that 99% of the preaching in America today has absolutely nothing to do with the covenant that God made with Israel. And here was a man who was sent to preach to a nation in sin before God Almighty, and he preached for 40 years. And the first thing he was told to say was, God remembers you are his covenant people. I remember your espousals when thou wentest after me in the wilderness in a land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. Hear ye the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain? In other words, the next statement or question was, why have you turned away from me? What iniquity have you found in me? Israel is being asked, what evil, what sin have you found in God that you've turned away from him? Now, consider this for just a moment. I'll just list a few things. I could spend the whole sermon on this one thing. But God has given certain standards of righteousness. He gave his law to Israel in that covenant. And among other things, God says that murderers are to be put to death. In the United States, the courts have decided that death for murderers is cruel and unusual punishment. In other words, putting a murderer to death is an iniquity. They say God is a sinner, because he requires certain things. God forbids nudity and adultery. But in America today, they say, oh, that's old-fashioned to be opposed to that. Well, that's just art. That's modern. That's the modern thing to do. And after all, we should be free to use our own bodies as we wish, and on and on and on. What are they saying? They are saying that God is wrong. Therefore, they turn away from him. God has ordered death for homosexuals. One of the best-known evangelists in America today was asked some questions about whether homosexuals should be ordained into the ministry, And he did not oppose it, and he said, among other things, I have friends who are homosexuals. I treat them just like anyone else. In other words, God is wrong. There's sin in God's decisions. He is wrong. We'll have to do it a different way. You know, we sound just like the ancient Judic kingdom, don't we? We know that God has decreed that murder is not to be done in the land of Israel. One of the Ten Commandments, of course, is against murder. And yet, I heard that man on the radio this morning saying that 1,600,000 babies were murdered in the womb in America last year. And just recently, the wife of the President of the United States stated that when the Supreme Court said that was legal to kill these babies, that was good. That was a great decision. In other words, God, you are wrong. Our courts are right. This is what God was talking about when he asked Israel in the Judah kingdom in Jerusalem. He said, I remember my covenant with you. I remember what you said to me in the wilderness when you said that all that the Lord has said we will do. He said, what iniquity have you found in me now that you've turned away from me? And he said in this last part of this verse 5, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain. This translation in the English 300 years ago, vanity and vain, meant false. It had nothing to do with your ego. It was false, it was lies. So in turning away, in thinking there is iniquity in God, we have turned after vanity and are become vain. Now you know that, as I said, politicians lie. Well, what about the clergy? Think on this. In somewhere around 300,000 pulpits and on thousands of radio stations, ordained ministers in America are telling millions of people that God said thus and so, and God didn't say thus and so at all. They lie about God's law, about both the Old and the New Covenants, about death, about heaven, about hell, about prophecy, about Israel, about the heathen, about interest and money, about the Antichrist, about the kingdom, and about Christ's return, and scores of other things. Their doctrine does not fit God's word. They have found iniquity in God, so they've turned away from him, and we have become a nation of liars and lied to people. God says to Jeremiah, he said, after you remind them of the covenant, then you ask them, why have you turned away from me? Verse 6, neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought and of shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through, and where no man dwelt. No man asks about the God who brought us to this great and wonderful wilderness here on this North American continent, and gave us the best land on earth, and set us high up above all nations that the Lord hath made. How many times do you hear preachers talking about that? Once in a while. But God said here in this Judah kingdom, apparently they'd even turned away from thanking God for the land. And I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when ye entered, ye defiled my land and made mine heritage an abomination. Now who defiled God's land? Who made his heritage and abomination? And I think I should turn to another prophet here in Joel to show you what God's heritage is. Joel 3, verse 2, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. God's heritage is the Israel people. How about the New Testament? 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. Peter writes to the ministers and he says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof not by constraint but willingly, not for filthy lucre but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. The Christian believers are God's heritage. Israel, Christian Israel, is God's heritage. And who do we find in Jeremiah had made God's Israel his heritage an abomination? We read it in Jeremiah 2 and verse 8. The priest said not, where is the Lord? And they that handle the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit. Who? The priests, the teachers of the law, the pastors, and the prophets. In other words, what we would know today as the clergy, the seminaries, the evangelists, and the preachers are the ones whom God holds responsible for making Israel an abomination before Him. Yes, I know the people are responsible to a great extent, but He lists here, in effect, the clergy. Now, who's going to suffer from this? Verse 9. Wherefore I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. Generations, the whole nation is going to suffer at the hand of God because the people, especially the clergy, have turned away from God's word. This is Pastor Emery cutting in. That was the first part of a series of sermons titled Jeremiah, a Weeping Prophet to a Sinful Nation. Listen next week for more of that series. Meanwhile, write for our free February packet of literature, including my booklet, The Old Jerusalem is Not the New Jerusalem. The announcer will give my address in just a moment. That packet is free for the asking, and we'll send along some other things for your Bible study. Until next week when I return, God willing, this is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you, read your Bible, and pray for Christian America.
You have been listening to America's Promise. If you would like Pastor Emery to continue broadcasting on this station, please write to him at America's Promise, Post Office Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona. America must hear God's Word preached in this hour of trial. When you write, please ask for the literature you would like. You will also receive a list of other literature available, a catalog of several hundred Bible sermons and radio broadcasts on tape, and the current log of radio stations where you or friends may hear America's Promise. Pastor Emery's address again, America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. That's America's Promise, Post Office Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. Be with Pastor Emery next week at this same time. Tell your friends of the broadcast, and thank you for listening.